Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tezvav, Amar Aleph, at the Mishnah, in the middle of the Yomit. Says the Mishnah, Seder Nachlas Kachu. As we have been learning the halachas of Yerusha, so our Mishnah summarizes the line of succession. And Seder Nachlas Kachu, the Pasuk says, Ish Kiyomis Uben Einloi, if somebody passes away, he doesn't have a son. Vavartem es nachlosu labitoi ben koydim labas. A son comes before the daughter. As the Mefarshim explained, the Torah, when it says that a daughter yashins from a daughter, the Torah yashins, the Torah uses the words vahavartem, which means, so to speak, that the Yerusha is being taken from the place that it belongs. From here we see that a son should come first. Only if there is no son, then does the daughter yashin. Not only does the son, say the Mishnah, go before the daughter, but koyotze yirecho shoben kaidun labas, all the descendants of a son. So if there was a son and the son left over descendants, those descendants take precedence over the daughter. Koyotze yirecho shoben kaidun labas. In Machlokes Rishonim, a subject that we've discussed on a number of occasions, when we speak about the Yotzi Yerecho Shoben coming before the daughter, how is it to be understood? Is it to be understood that they are extensions of the son? Or is it to be understood, which we know the term for that is Mishmush, or is it to be understood that they are the Yarshim themselves? As we've said, this is Machloikus Rishonim. The Rabbi Chanan wants to bring a raya that it's that they do Yarshin independently. He brings actually two rayas. One raya is a Gemara that we just learned in the previous shurim. The Gemara keeps on speaking about Yerusha Shnia and Yerusha Rishonah. The Gemara says that just like by Yerusha Rishonah, by first generation Yerusha, the halacha is the ben kaidun labas, so too by Yerusha Shniyah, by the further down generations. Say the Mefarshim, if we're going to say that the Yerusha of the further generations really stems from the Yerusha of the earlier generation, then obviously they have the same din of ben kaidun labas. And why would we need a special limud? The fact that a special limud is required seems to be an indication that that these are independent yarshim, not yarshim because of mishmash. Another raya Rabbi Chana wants to bring is regarding the halacha of when somebody could be a possible aid. Now, the halacha is that further down generations do not necessarily become disqualified aidim. And the question is why, if they're considered, extensions of the earlier generation. It must be that they're not considered extension of the earlier generation, rather they're considered independent yarshim. Continues the Mishnah. Bas kedemes lachem. A sister of the person who passed away takes precedence before the brothers. And not only does the sister take precedence before the brother, but yotze yirecho shobas kedem lachem. Her descendants take precedence over the brother of the nifter. Achim kedem lachiyav. Brothers of the nifter take precedence over the uncles, yotzi reichem shalachim, and not only do the brothers of the nifter take precedence over the uncles of the nifter, but even the descendants of the brothers of the brother of who passed away take precedence over their uncles or great uncles. Again, as we have mentioned on previous occasions, this is again a question of how do we look at the brothers being Yarshim? Do we look at them as being independent Yarshim? Or do we look at them as mishmash, as being extensions of the father, because as we're going to learn in a moment, the halacha is that the father comes before the brothers. And now the question is, are they considered extensions of the father, or are they considered independent yarshim? And as we have mentioned in the previous shiurim, there are a number of nafkaminas lahalacha, how we look at them. One nafkamina will be, is, again, let's use the following example. If there was Yaakov and his sons, and one of Yaakov's sons died without children, and Yaakov Avinu was also no longer alive at that point. So how do we look at his children, at the son of Yaakov's brothers who are Yashning? How do we look at them? Do we look at them as extensions of Yaakov, or do we look at them as independent Yarshim? What would be the nafkamina? One nafkamina would be is if Yaakov owed somebody money. So if we say that they were extensions of Yaakov, that Baal Chayiv has a right to make a claim on the money. If, however, we say that they're independent Yarshim, they're not obligated necessarily to pay Yaakov's debt. Another nafkamina would be is if Yaakov gave very clear instructions on how his estate should be divided. So if we say that they're independent Yarshim, so the instructions that Yaakov gave regarding the disposal of his estate would not be relevant here. But if, on the other hand, we look at them as extensions of Yaakov, then Yaakov's instructions would be very relevant. Another nafkamina is that we're going to learn that a mumer does not yarshin his father. But that halacha is strictly regarding the yerusha of a father. So here the question would be, if we say that one of the brothers was, Rachman al-Tzlan, a mumer, if we say that we look at him as an extension of their father, so if one of these children are a mumer, he cannot be a yoirish. If, however, we look at him as a extent, if we however look at him as an independent yoirish, and therefore the din of mumer doesn't apply, because as I said, the din of mumer only applies by a father, not in other rules of yerusha. So even if this brother were Rachman al-Tzlan, a mumer, it would not affect his ability to yashin his deceased brother. Zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol ha-koydim v'nachlo, whoever takes precedence in the line of succession, yotzi yirecha koydmin, his descendants take precedent, v'av koydim l'chol yotzi yirecha, and the father comes before the brothers of the person that passed away. The Ramban asked the question, if we're saying now that a father is the yoirish of a son, then why does the Torah not explicitly teach us that din? The Torah teaches us about a son and a daughter, but the Torah doesn't teach us about a father yarshining a son. And the question is, why doesn't the Torah mention this din? The Ramban gives four answers to this question. One answer is that since the Torah teaches us that the son, as we learned at the beginning of the parish, at the perek, the son yarshins, and not only yarshins, but the father yarshins the son. So we see that they have a two-way relationship. So just like the son yarshins from the father yarshins from the son, and there is no need for the Torah to tell us explicitly. Another answer, the Ramban suggests, is based on the halacha that we just learned. That if we say the concept of mishmash, and if we say that the Yerusha of the brothers as actually an extension of the father, so obviously the father is a Yorish, because if the Torah tells us that the brothers are Yorishim, certainly the father who they Yorishim because of him is a Yorish. Another reason, explains the Ramban, is that the Torah wanted to avoid speaking explicitly about a terrible situation where a son dies before the father. And that's why the Torah did not explicitly mention such a din, even though so is the din. And a fourth teretz that the Ramban suggests is that the Torah primarily speaks about Hilchus Yerusha in the situation of when they came to Eretz Yisrael. And we know that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, there were no fathers who were yashening the sons, because all of the fathers who were Yoytze Mitzrayim, who left Mitzrayim and were 20 years and older, passed away. So in that situation that the Torah speaks about Yerusha, there were no fathers yashening the son. That's why the Torah doesn't specify it explicitly. Tana Rabbana. So we learned that a son comes before a daughter. Ben, so teaches us the Braisa, that not only does a son come before a daughter, only Ben, the din of a son, Eli Ben HaBen, a Bas HaBen, a son's son, a son's daughter, a Ben Bas HaBen, or a son's daughter's son, any descendant of the son comes before the daughter. How do we know this? Tamad Loime Einloi. Einolov, pay attention and see if there are any descendants to the son, because if there are any descendants to the son, they will take precedence over any daughter. And as I said when we began the perek, this halacha that a son takes precedence over a daughter, even if we live in a country where the rule of the land is that all children inherit equally, there is no concept, say the Paiskim, of Dina de Machus Dina, to go against what it says explicitly in the Torah, the line of succession, and a daughter cannot claim Dina de Machus Dina if to become an equal Yairish. There is a question that is discussed amongst the Paiskim, and that is, let's say there is an estate left by the father. In order for the estate to be divided, the government requires that all of the children of the deceased sign a document indicating that they're agreeable to the division of the estate, the way it's being divided. And the daughters, who are following the halach of the Torah, but the daughter's saying, we refuse to sign unless we'll get a share. What is the halacha? So some paiskim suggest that in those cases the daughters can claim 10%. I've seen paiskim that suggest even more to give their signature. The Shas Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim says that we have to look at every situation, what the situation is, how to satisfy the daughters that they should agree to sign. So too says the Shas Tshuvas Devrechaim. However, the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuvas takes very strong exception. He says that this is no different than the situation of Hashavas Aveda. The daughters, by signing this document, will allow the sons to receive what they're supposed to receive. And by withholding their signature, it's preventing them from receiving what they're supposed to receive. And this is the situation of Hashavas Aveda. Tosfos and other Rishonim ask a question. Why does the Gemara have to bring a pasuk to teach us that grandchildren, that the children of the son, Yash and the grandfather, don't we have a rule that b'nei bonim harayim kabonim, that grandchildren are considered like children? So obviously, the children have an ability to Yashin. So Tosfos answers, where do we apply the concept of b'nei bonim harayim kabonim? Only when the Torah uses the word zera. But here the Torah uses the word ben, and since the Torah uses the word ben, therefore it only means a son, if not that we have the limud that we just learned that we'll explain a little more in a moment. However, many achroinim ask on Tosfos' teretz. Drushash asks that Chazal say on the pasuk, "V'hoyu ki yomer aleichem b'neichem ma ha'avoy da'azoyis l'chem." So the Medrash says, "Besura toivu nespasu Yisrael bo'is Yisrael." Klai Yisrael got a wonderful news at that time. Shein asidin liris bonim nei bonim, that they're going to have grandchildren and great grandchildren. So we see that b'neichem includes the children. Rabbi Chanan asks, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about Shevet Levi, and he says, "Ha'oimel la'aviv el'imel la'ri'isav v'es echav la'hag hikar v'es bonav la'yada." And he says, "What's his bonav la'yada?" It means that that Shevet Levi didn't care even if it was their grandchildren. How was it their grandchildren? Because you had a Levi whose daughter married a Yisrael. So again, we see that the pasuk calls grandchildren bonim. So we see that the word bonim, not just the word zera, refer to grandchildren. So I saw a number of terutzim to this teret, how to answer Tosfos' question. One teretz is that even if we say that bnei bonim harem kabonim, harem kabonim means that they're as good as children, but they're not children, and therefore we would perhaps think, as our Gemara just said, that if somebody left a daughter and he didn't, and his son had passed away and he had grandchildren from the son, there we should say that the daughter, who's an actual child, should take precedence over a grandchild. That's why we had a halacha of bnei bonim. That's why we have to have a special limud. Another reason the Mefarshim give why we have to have a special limud, because let's say we'll have a situation where somebody doesn't have any children left, and but he has grandchildren, and he has a grandfather. So the question is, they're equal generation. They're equal in the distance from the nifter. Who do we say should yarshin? That's why we say that even though they're equidistant, the halach in terms of relation, still the Torah teaches us that it's the grandchildren, the children of the sons, that yarshin. Tosfos also asks that the Torah says in Parshas Yibum that if someone didn't leave over any children, but he left over grandchildren, the halach is that that person's wife will not require Yibum. But now the question is why? If our Gemara is teaching us that only when we have a special limud that teaches us that if there are grandchildren, there is no reason for, then the Yerusha passes on to the grandchildren. Otherwise, we don't automatically include grandchildren. So why over here are grandchildren exempt their grandfather's wife from Yibum? So one teretz that the Rishonim give is that the Torah, in speaking about Yibum, says v'lo yimachash shmai miYisrael, that the purpose of Yibum is to avoid that this person's name be erased, and if he has grandchildren, it's already in a category of ein shmai machli. Another teretz is that the Torah says, as we learned the same pasuk here, the Torah says regarding Yibum, uben ein loy ayin olof, and even though as Tosfos has taught us earlier in the parak, that limud comes to teach us that if somebody left a son who's a mamzer, the halacha is that that son, that the mamzer also exempts his father's wife from Yibum. But say the Rishonim that the din of a mamzer and the din of grandchildren are the same. And just like a mamzer exempts his father's wife, so too will grandchildren. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is that once we've identified in our Gemara that as far as Yerusha is concerned, grandchildren are considered children and are considered Yarshim, once we've established this fact in our Gemara, then we can extend it also to Hilchos Yibum, that if somebody left over grandchildren, his wife will not require Yibum. And how do we know, again, that grandchildren take precedence? Because the Torah uses the words uben ein loy, and the Gemara says ayin olav. And the Rishonim debate, how does this limud of ayin olav work? The Rashbam says, because the Torah could have spelled the word ein loy without a yud, but the Torah adding the word yud, it comes to teach us ayin. Rabbeinu Gershom explains that in Hebrew, the letters aleph and ayin are interchanged, and therefore, instead of spelling it or understanding it as Einloi, spell it as Einolov. The Oruch, a similar pshat, says that in Hebrew, the letter Aleph and the letter Hey are very often interchanged, and therefore the way to read the pasuk is Uben Einloi, but also could be like Uben Heinloi. Hein means yes. If the son has any descendants, that descendant will take precedence. Others explain the Torah could have said Ish Kiyomis Belay Ben. The Torah, by using the words Ish Kiyomis Ben Einloi, is trying to teach us this halacha. And one more way that I saw the Rishonim explain, the Sma explains it this way, the Torah could have said Ish Kiyomis Ve Einloi Ben, which is the typical way the Torah would write. But the Torah writing Ish Kiyomis Uben Einloi, it seems to be teaching us a special limud, and the limud is to look if the son, even if he no longer is alive, does he have any descendants. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, based on this Gemara, Uben Einloi Ayin Alof, that Ayin Alof also comes to teach us that if he has a son, a mamzer, that son is also considered a son that will have precedence over daughters, etc., to be a Yorish. And again, as I keep on repeating, here too there's a machloikus rishonim, how to understand the Yerusha of grandchildren. Is it that they are independent Yorishim, or is it because of mishmash? Bas. Now, if the person who passed away did not have any sons, nor did his son, nor any descendants of a son, then the Yerusha goes to his daughter, Bas. Ainli ela Bas. I only know that this halacha applies to a daughter. Bas habas, ben habas, or bas mina ben habas minayim. Any descendants of a daughter, how do I know that they are next in line? Tamalayim ainloi ainalov. Look if the daughter had any descendants, because if she had any descendants, they will take press. They will be next in line. Hakeitzet, and there's a machlokas rishonim how to understand this line of hakeitzet. Simple pshat, which is the pshat of the Rishba, of the Rashbam, is that just like we're learning the concept of looking at descendants downward, we also have to look at descendants upwards. But other rishonim say that the Torah uses the words einloi not only when it speaks about children, it speaks about other Yarshim. Why is the Torah used that word Einloi? To teach us, Nachla Mishameshes V'alechas Ad Ruvain. That if somebody is from Shevet Ruvain, his, we keep up, and there are no descendants going downward, so we start looking at descendants going upwards. And we keep on going up till the originator of the Shevet, until Ruvain. Actually, many Rishonim say from here we have a raya of the concept of mishmush, that the yorshim of his great-great-grandfather all come because of Ruvain. Shimon Rozovsky, in trying to explain this question, answers that we have to say that the ad Ruvain v'loy ad Ruvain b'chlal. Ask the Gemara, if we're trying to look for relatives upwards, why does the Gemara stop by Ruvain? Why don't we go all the way up till Yaakov Avinu, Vilema Ad Yaakov, which is the originator of all of the Shvatim? Amar Abaye answered the Gemara. The Gemara wants to teach us another lesson. The Gemara wants to teach us a lesson that Gemir the Lekala Shifta, that every Shevet will remain. And therefore, if I'm from Shevet Ruvain, I will have a relative in Shevet Ruvain. I may have to go up all the way till the beginning of the Shevet, till Ruvain, but I won't have to go further up till Yaakov Avinu, because every Shevet will remain. And that's the lesson the Gemara wants to teach us. And as the Rishonim explain, how do we know that every Shevet will continue? Because the pasuk says, Kani Hashem loy shenisi, v'ata b'nei Yaakov loy chalisim. That just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is here forever, so too will be Klal Yisrael. And as the Rishonim explained, the 12 Shvatim represent the 12 Mazolos that are in Shemayim, and just like those 12 Mazolos will remain forever, so too will the 12 Shvatim remain forever. Even though I saw that the Chassam Sofer asks, we know that after the Aveira of the Eagle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he will destroy all of Klal Yisrael and redevelop a Klal Yisrael out of Moshe Rabbeinu. But how could that be? Didn't Al Gemara just say Gemira the Lekala Shevet? Answers the Chassam Sofer that this episode was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there was only a Haftacha, there was only a commitment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will not destroy Klal Yisrael. And that would be because Klal Yisrael would emanate from Moshe Rabbeinu. The concept that the 12 Shvatim will remain forever, that only happened after Matan Torah. And that explains the Brisk Rav, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, Goy v'kal goyim yimcha. Goy means that Klal Yisrael will remain, but not only will Klal Yisrael will remain, but Kahal Goyim, there will be 12 Shvatim that will always remain in the world. And furthermore, says the Brisk Rav, that's what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yosef, Ephraim u'Menashem k'ruve v'shimen yuli, and afterwards he says, Hamalach Hagoyloisi Mikoro Yvarach Esen Orim Vikorim Shmi. And the question is, what does it mean when Yaakov Avinu said Vikor Behem Shmi? What Yaakov Avinu was saying, that Ephraim and Manasseh will be worthy of the bracha of Goy V'Kal Goyim Vikor Behem Shmi, and that bracha that once you are a Shevet, you will be here forever. That is the bracha that Yaakov Avinu was giving to Menashe and Ephraim. And with this I saw, we could understand a Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Yuma says, asks a question. The Pasuk says, V'hagi mispar b'nei Yisrael, k'chol hayom ashlayimad v'lo yisofa miroiv. So the Pasuk begins with the words, V'hagi mispar b'nei Yisrael, that it seems that Klal Yisrael does have a misper. And then the Pasuk says, Ashloyimed v'lo yisafer, that they don't have a misper. So Gemara answers, Kan be'oysim ritzoyne shemakim, kan be'ein oysim ritzoyne shemakim. Oysim ritzoyne shemakim, it seems they do not have a misper. Ein oysim ritzoyne shemakim, they have a misper. But it's still a difficult Gemara to understand. Dafka Klal Yisrael is the nation that has no misper? Klal Yisrael is the smallest nation in the world. So Mefarshim explain, what the Gemara means is, Kan ba'oisim ritzoyne shalmakoyim, those people who are the oisim ritzoyne shalmakoyim will be the members of the Shevet that will be forever. And ain oisim ritzoyne shalmakoyim, they will be the people that will not necessarily be here forever. The Shevet will be here forever, but not necessarily those people. Mefarshim asks that there's a debate, the Sefer Parashas Drachim discusses this at great length. There's a debate, what was the status of Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah? Did they have the status of Bnei Noach, or did they have the status of Klal Yisrael? So they ask, we know that the halacha, the Rambam says, is that unlike the halachas of Yerusha, which we speak about by Klal Yisrael, by Goyim, the halacha is that Yerusha is only by children. So if the earliest generations of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, are only considered like Bnei Noach, how can we say that the Yerusha goes up to Reuven? Yerusha is not applicable. Yerusha in previous generations doesn't apply by Akum. So the Achronim answer that even if we'll say that Klal Yisrael don't have the halacha of Jews before Matan Torah, as far as the halachas of Yerusha, as far as the halacha of Yerusha, and as far as the halacha of Geiris, there they still are considered Jews. And that's why as far as Yerusha and Yichus, we could go backwards. And they really, that's not this answer that the Achronim give could be the answer to a different question, because we know that Gershon is Geir to Kotn Shanoila Dami. So the question is, our predecessors were all Geirim, and we've learned so many times that there is really no halachic relationship by Geirim. So how can we say that the Yerusha goes up to Ruvain, there was Matan Torah when there was Geiris? So some answer, the Geiris, the halachas of Geiris, the Gershon is Geir to Kotn Shanoila Dami, doesn't apply by the Geiris of Matan Torah, because it only applies by a voluntary Geiris. The Geiris of Matan Torah wasn't the voluntary Geiris, it was Kofalem Kakagigas, they had to accept the Geiris. But others say that again, that even if we'll say that Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah were in the category of Gershon's Geir Kakotn Shanoila Dami, that is not regarding the Halacha of Yerusha and the Halacha of Yichus. There we certainly have Yichus back to our previous generations. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kala Oyma Tirash Bas in Bas HaBen. Rav Huna, who is going to be referring to the opinion of the Tzadikim, says the following. We've learned that if somebody had a son, and his son died, but that son left over daughters, or even granddaughters, they take precedence over the daughters of the Nifter in Yerusha. The Tzadikim, however, felt that if there's a granddaughter, they agreed that a son, it's a pasuk in the Torah, they agreed that the son takes precedence of a daughter. But they did not agree that a granddaughter coming from the deceased son takes precedence over a daughter. And therefore, Rav Huna makes a very strong statement. He says, Kol ayim tirish bas in bas haben, whoever says that a daughter will yarsh together with the niece, I feel enough, and we don't exclude the daughter, I feel enough shall be Yisrael, ain't shemalai. Even if it's a nasi shav Yisrael that's stating this opinion, ain't shemalai, we don't heed him, shena el masa tzadikim, what he's saying is from the tzadikim. Who were the tzadikim? So as the Rashbam explains, it says in Pirkei Avos, Antignus ish soichai said, al tiyu kavodim ham shamshtif rav avonas lekabel pras. Tzadik and Baisis were Talmidim, were students of Antignus Yisrochai. And they misunderstood what their Rebbe said. And when they heard their Rebbe said, Al tiyu kavodim shamshim sarav amnas l'kabal pras, don't serve Hashem for getting schar, they thought what their Rebbe was saying was that there's no schar v'oynish, there's no reward and punishment. And that caused them to ignore all of what Chazal said. That really wasn't the intention of their Rebbe. What their Rebbe was trying to teach them actually was that there is schar v'oynish, but that should not be the reason that we are serving Hashem. And they didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, and ultimately it led them to complete kafira. And as the Mefarshim explained, this mistake that they made, which we're going to discuss more in a moment, that a niece and the daughter will, that the granddaughter and the daughter will yash together, all also emanates from their lack of belief in what Chazal said. That Chazal taught us there's a concept of tchias hameisim, that a person lives on, and therefore even if somebody's son passed away, that doesn't mean his body is no longer with us, but his neshama lives on through the neshama lives on and his children live on. And that's why if a son comes before a daughter, the descendants of a son also come before the daughter. But that all stems from believing that there is a neshama that lives on forever. The tzadikim, who did not believe in that concept, had a hard time giving precedence to the granddaughter over the daughter. What the Gemara means, afil noshi shev Yisrael in Shemen Loi. So posh pshat in the Gemara is that even if you'll have a great individual like the Nasi saying that this is the din, we don't listen to what the Nasi says, he's making a mistake. Or as others say, we don't listen to the Nasi, we have to be concerned that this Nasi may be from the Tzadikim. Or even if he's not from the Tzadikim, we have to be concerned that people will make the error in believing that he's a tzaddiki, and therefore, even though typically we certainly have to listen to whatever a Nasi says, here we do not. Another pshat that the Rashbam suggests is, as we have been learning, the Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, and if a Shchimera gives directive how his estate should be divided up, it doesn't even require a kinyan, that is automatically what should happen. Not in a situation, however, says the Gemara, according to the Rashbam's, this explanation of the Rashbam, where it will be divided according to the opinion of the Tzadikim. We can't give any respect to their opinion, and therefore here, if somebody gives direction that his Yerusha should be divided that way, we will not listen to what that person says. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, under certain circumstances, the Chachamim made decisions that the Tzadikim, under certain circumstances, Chazal made decisions that we should not follow specifically the laws of Yerusha as stated in the Torah, which they certainly have the ability to do so, because they have the ability, because Halach is Hefker, Hefker Bezdin, Hefker. However, it tells us the Gemara that even though Chazal have that ability, they don't have that ability in a situation where it will turn out that we're following the opinion of the Tzadikim. To that degree, Chazal, though, we don't follow the Chazal to allow that to happen. The Tanya. So now the Gemara goes into what the Tzadikim held. The Gemara says, there's something known as Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus, which is no longer in effect, was a book that mentioned all of the minor holidays that weren't really full-fledged Yom Tovim. They were Yom Tovim to the degree that one is not allowed to fast on those days. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that says, "Be'abim ve'esrim b'tevis tavnu l'dino." On the 24th day of Tevis, we went back to original law, because at a certain point during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Tzadikim had the upper hand, and they ruled, and their rules were followed. On that day, we were able to prevail over the Tzadikim. Shahayu Tzadikim Oimrim Tirish Habas and Bas Haben. The Tzadikim said that if somebody passed away, and there's a granddaughter from a son and a daughter, these two individuals yarshin together. Nitbalahem Rabbi Yochim and Zakai. Rabbi Yochim and Zakai did not agree with them. Ramalahem Shaitim Menayin Zelochem. From where did you come to this opinion? There was nobody from amongst the Tzadikim that could respond. He tried to make the following kal v'chomer. If his granddaughter, whose power to Yarshin is because she's a descendant of the son, Tirishenu, has the ability to Yarshin him, Bitoi, so then his daughter, in other words, what they were saying was that a granddaughter is not as close as a daughter, and therefore the daughter takes precedence. Karavlov, so Rabbi Yochim and Zakai responded with the following pasuk, Hamikra Azeh. The pasuk where it mentions the descendants of Seir. Eile b'nei Seir achayri yoshvei aretz. Lotan v'shavel v'tzivon v'ana. So the Torah mentions Ana as one of Seir's children. But then there's another pasuk, and as Tzivan is a son of Seir. But then there's another pasuk, Elabnei Tzivan v'ayon v'ana. So the question is, was Ana Tzivan's son, or was Ana Seir's son? And Melamed, what do we see from here? Shabbat Tzivan al-Imai, that Tzivan had relations with his mother, v'hoilat Ana. So in other words, Ana was both Tzivan's son and his brother, but he was only a grandson of Seir, because he was Tzivan's son, not Seir's son. Yet he's listed among Seir's sons. What are we trying to see? What do we see from here? That grandchildren are considered like children, And therefore, if a son has precedence, his descendants have precedence also. This Gemara is obviously a very difficult Gemara to understand, as the Rishonim grapple with this Gemara, because nobody's been questioning about a son's son. Here we're talking about a son's daughter taking precedence over a daughter. How do we see from this pasuk what we were debating with the tzedakim, that a son's daughter has precedence over a daughter? Furthermore, we don't have the Gemara mentions that Anna was a mamzer. What? How do we necessarily have a raya to that? Maybe he wasn't a mamzer, and the pasuk is just trying to teach us the power of a grandson. And there were other questions. So the Rashbam's approach in explaining the Gemara is that all we see from here is the power of grandchildren. Once our Gemara has identified the power of grandchildren, we don't differentiate between boys and girls. Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, has a different pshat in this Gemara. And Tosfos says that Anna was actually a girl. And therefore, we have a great raya that Anna, who's a granddaughter, is mentioned amongst the children of Seir, to teach us that a granddaughter is considered a daughter, as considered the same as a son. Ask the Gemara, Vidilma Trey Anna Hava. Maybe there were actually two Annas, and therefore the entire question doesn't begin. Amar Rabba, Amina Milsa, Tlay Amar Shvar Malka. I'll say something that even Shvar Malka didn't say. Mana, who is Shvar Malka? Shmuel. And there was Shonim debate. Why was he called Shvar Malka? One pshat is that Shvar Malka was the king, and we were trying to prove how great Shmuel was, that he was as great as the king. Another pshat is that just like whatever the king rules, we have to follow, so too, whatever Shmuel paskins, we have to follow the psak of Shmuel always when it comes to questions in dinim mamonis and monetary law. So Mefarshim asks, if Al Gemara is saying that Shmuel was such a great person, so why is he not called Rabbi Shmuel? So the Svarim quote that it says in the Medrash that Shmuel saw that he will never get smicha. So to prove that he was not a samuch, that's why he's called, that he wasn't ordained, that's why he's called Shmuel. The question is, could somebody call his Rebbe by his first name? So the Ramah paskins that if somebody, when he calls his Rebbe, doesn't just call his Rebbe by his first name, but rather he says Rebbe, or he says Mayvi Rabbi, that is permissible. However, the Shach says that is only permissible when he's speaking about his Rebbe, but when he's speaking to his Rebbe, the halacha is that he can't call him Mayri, that he can't call him by his name, even if he adds the word Rebbe. Although, the Yamsa Shloima makes a very interesting point. He says you can't call a Rebbe by his name when you're speaking directly, even if you're speaking directly to him, if it's a way that other people address the Rebbe. But if you call your Rebbe by his name, but add a title of honor, a title of honor that's not normally used, that is mutter. What's the raya? The raya is that Yeshua said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adoni Moshe Kloim. So how could Yeshua call Moshe Rabbeinu by his name Moshe? The answer is that nobody called Moshe Adoni Moshe, and therefore, since nobody called him that name, that's why, even though he was using the name Moshe, it was permissible. The Paiskim also say that there's a nafkamina, there's a difference in halacha between when you're writing his name or when you're saying his name. And therefore here, where you're in a case where you're just writing the name, we could be more lenient. Ekadamri, Amar Apa, Amina Mils, Deloyam Shva Malka. And who does he refer to when he says Shva Malka? Manu Rabba. Amakra, you question that perhaps there were two Anas. Who Anna the Mikaru? It's the same Anna. Amalei, Rebbe Bekacha Betraini. Is this a good question? And again, if we're going to follow the opinion of the Rashbam and understanding the Gemara, we could say as follows. This, the question that we asked actually was the question that he asked. That how could you say that this is the source that we learn that a granddaughter comes before a daughter, a granddaughter from a son? Perhaps this was a situation where it was a grandson, but we don't have a raya. What would be the halacha by a granddaughter? Amalei Shaita. As the Mefarshim explained, there was really a different reason, which the Gemara is now going to mention. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not really want to tell him that reason. Because the Maveda Paiskim explained is that even though Torah can be learned with everybody, Tameh HaTorah, the inner reasoning of Torah, we should avoid learning with everyone. And therefore he wanted to avoid teaching him the Torah Shleima, the Tameh HaTorah. Another reason why it's called Torah Shleima is because who gave us the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest on of Torah Shelma, the Torah that was given to us by a person who created him, who considered himself Ma, like nothing. Ma'alabas b'noi shekein yofa koicha b'makam achim. You know what the strength of a granddaughter is? Because she emanates from a brother, that from a son, that under all circumstances a son yarshins. If there are a number of sons, every son is a yarish. Tamabitoi, whereas a daughter, shehura koicha b'makam achim, that if she is a sister amongst brothers, as we learned at the beginning of Ashir, she will not yarshin. V'nitzchem, and that was the way that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was able to prevail over the tzedakim. For asayon, asayontif, that day was made into yontif, where halacha was reestablished, that the halacha is that if somebody left descendants from a son, even if they're a daughter, if it's a granddaughter, takes precedence over a daughter.